Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth.
Good morning. Sorry I'm running late today. It's Monday morning. It was so cool. Yesterday, Cindy had been busy out shopping and I was working, and she came back and I go, hey, let's go out for a motorcycle ride, and realized, well, looked like it might be bad weather. So we took a drive and we headed over to the port, and Cindy goes, that looks like Pat Gervais' motorcycle with his two big flags showing. I'm sorry. Tell Brenda I'm sorry. I keep going and getting my coffee cup. There's Mother Angelica. I'm trying not to do that so much. And we saw Pat Gervais and we saw his friend, so it was cool. I don't know how many of you caught it, but last night we were on the Life on the Rock show. I wasn't aware. They thought it might air in December. They weren't sure when. And then we were watching EWTN and said, tonight on Life on the Rock. So we tried to get the news out to watch it. It was a pretty cool interview. I think they did a really good job of promoting it and stuff, promoting Long Ride Home and promoting Knights on Bikes and Catholic Cross Bears and other motorcycle groups. So that was cool. But here we are. We're in the Didache today, and we are studying chapter 12. We are so happy to hear about Dan Barta's good news, by the way. We've all been praying for him. So by all means, everybody, post your prayer requests here. You know, we got Pat Gervais every night praying the rosary for us. And if you're a member of the Man Cave, if you're not, you should join it. And be sure and post up there when you have anything that we can pray for. So chapter 12, let everyone that comes in the name of the Lord be received. But afterwards you shall examine him and know his character, for you have knowledge of both good and evil. You'll see here, I'm reading from the Didache, the training of the apostles. Sorry about my hair, guys. That's just the way it is on live Facebook. Everything I do makes it look worse. I went to go get a haircut yesterday, and my motorcycle wouldn't start. Okay, making it worse. Okay, anyway. But I will get one today so you won't have to look at that horrible hair. Okay, so we're reading from the Didache. If the person who comes by a wayfarer assists him, so assist him as far as you are able. But he will not remain with you more than 2 or 3 days unless there be a necessity. So give and help, but don't be taken advantage of. But if he wish to settle with you, being a craftsman, let him work and so eat, right? Paul said, if they don't work, don't eat. I think there's definitely an exception for people with mental illness and things like that, or physical incapability. But there's a real wonderful thing, especially for people who tend, Paul said, if they are taking advantage of you, which is another way of saying they steal from you, have them work. And especially, he says, have them work with their hands, which means if they know the value of real labor. You know, I think making a computer software, doing some bookkeeping is different than actually getting up and physically working. You get more value in the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into physical work. But if he wished to settle with you, being a craftsman, let him work and so eat. But if he know not any craft, provide you according to your own discretion, that a Christian may not live idle among you. Ugh, there's nothing that gets under my craw more than someone who's idle. It's kind of funny, the people that I know, like Pat Gervais and other guys that I know, it's like once they retire, they're working harder than ever. Their schedules are more full. I know that Pat is involved in doing this beautiful, I forget the name of it, doing a special run for kids, I think, who have lost their fathers through the war. I forget exactly what it is. It's called the Snowball Run, I think. But there's many members of the Knights on Bikes are retired, but they do great things, great charitable things. So you should always be productive in life. Because the minute you stop living a life of self-donation, you stop living, basically. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, lose your life, give it away. But if you not be willing to do so, he is a trafficker in Christ. From such, keep aloof. And I know you've experienced it, and I've experienced it too. We had a situation the other day at Mass that really upset me. I know this may sound a little bit hypocritical, but we came out of Mass, and there's a woman there blocking people's way to their cars with her child and a sign asking for money. And it was just like she knew exactly what she was doing. She was putting herself in a position of heavy-duty guilt trip and confusion as people had to go way around her or give her money. The appropriate thing to do would have been to go to the church and ask for help. If she was an honest person, she knows that that's what we would do. We would try to find help for her, find her a place to live, find a place for her to seek job training or work. But if she's coming in the back door and just sitting there manipulating people, I wouldn't trust her. I wouldn't give her any money. I would say, go to the church. We have a way of discerning whether you're a fraud or whether you're genuine. And it's really saying here a lot, yeah, give and take care of people, but don't let them take advantage of you. In Hawaii, we have a real tough problem because cities all over the country ship their homeless people to us. And they're not really homeless. Most of them have severe mental illness, and they need to be institutionalized. And people just don't have the ACLU has come in and stops us from doing that. But they're mentally very dangerous to themselves and to others. And it's just, I call them the new kids on the block. It's just really tragic. They're the most vulnerable people among us. And people have misguided compassion saying, well, we need to help them get a job. They're not capable of having a job. They've blown their brains with ice or whatever else they're taking. They're mentally disturbed from drug addiction. They're never going to be healthy again in their lives. They're walking down the street yelling at someone that just doesn't even exist, scaring all the children, defecating in front of our church. Our church used to feed them, but now they just provide once a week counseling and try to get them help. But it's just there is such a thing as uninformed, misinformed compassion. You have to think past the immediate need and see what the real solution is. And for most of the people that are on the street in Waikiki, they need to be institutionalized. Their brains are just not functioning anymore. And you look at them and they're not bathing and there's open wounds on them. And the ACLU says, well, you got to let them sleep wherever they want to sleep. And it seems compassionate, but really you're doing these people great harm. They need to be helped. They're not able to make decisions for themselves. They need to be taken care of. They need to be taken off the street and hospitalized or at least institutionalized and taken care of. I mean, I see people with open wounds showering at the beach showers down there, and one gentleman showers for hours because he has open wounds on his legs. And because of the state of the ACLU, we can't give that guy help. We have to let him stay and live and sleep on the beach when he's mentally not even there. So I'm just, this is what the Didache is saying. Give and help people, but do not be taken advantage of, and be wise. But every true prophet who is willing to dwell among you is worthy of his meat. In other words, worthy of being given food, to be paid for what he's doing. Likewise, a true teacher is himself worthy of his meat, even as is a laborer. So a teacher in the gospel, someone who's peddling in the gospel, that's different, but someone who's really serving the Lord, they are worthy to be funded and provided for. You think about our priests, who so many take, basically they're paid very little wage or none at all. And you think about when I went to Catholic high school, I got to go to Catholic school the first 2 years of my school, first and second grade. Those nuns were paid, I think, $1 a week. I mean, it was what a gift they gave to us. And we have to be thankful in the Catholic Church for all those that serve and volunteer. Thou shalt therefore take the first fruits. Which fruits? The first fruits of every produce of the winepress, and the threshing floor of oxen and sheep, and shall give it to the prophets, for they are your chief priests. Okay, so we've talked about the woman in front of the church who is taking advantage of the parishioners as they leave, manipulating them. I remember there was a woman in Waikiki who I saw her with her two young children on the street. I went and got a local congresswoman, or woman is running for Congress. We helped her get a place to live. We helped her get her kids in school. We helped them get some clothing. And we helped her try to do a job search. But I live right there on the beach, and she didn't know it. Within 3 days, she was down there with her kids again, probably making $200 or $300 a day off the tourists because she had these children with her. She was manipulating the tourists, our guests in Waikiki. But look at the other way. Where are you sending your money now? Where do you send your first fruits? There are many people now that are thinking twice about sending money to certain charities or the bishop's fund, for example. If they have a bishop that they know is not righteous, that isn't transparent, that isn't doing his due diligence in the area of oversight of priests who have been involved in abusing younger boys or young men, if they're not doing their job, then why should you send your money to that bishop? Send it to EWTN, or send it to your local parish. Our local parishes need our help so much. Be watchful where you're sending your money. Just don't send it out. Be wise. That's what it's saying. Be wise in how you give. But if you have not a prophet, give it to the poor. In other words, a prophet in those days, it was like saying a priest. But remember, this is 65 AD, right around the time of the Jewish revolt, the final revolt, when Rome crushed them and the temple was destroyed. So they called the priests presbyters or prophets. They didn't use the word priest because they didn't want to be confused with the priests that were at the temple, the Jewish priests at the temple. But indeed, priests are priests because we offer up the sacrifice of the Mass. A priest stands in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, as he offers himself up, and we join with him in our offering. And that cosmic, eternal, infinite way of connecting with Jesus on the cross, we're made present with him on the cross. We don't re-sacrifice Jesus in the Mass. We're made present at his one sacrifice that was all we ever need, right, for our salvation. But if you have not a prophet, give unto the poor. If thou makest a feast, take and give the first fruits according to the commandment. In like manner, when thou opens a jar of wine or of oil, take the first fruits and give it to the prophets. They're saying, take also the first fruits of money, of clothes, and of every possession, as it shall seem good unto thee, and give it according to the commandment. You know, I have a family to support, and I have a beautiful bride that, you know, we support. And in my ministry, pretty much support myself through my work. I'm a CPA. My income has dropped considerably since taking on this ministry. But the funding that goes over our ministry is for the ministry. It doesn't come my way. It's actually the other way around. I give a lot of time, right? So you may not have the money to give like you would like to, but you can certainly give your time. As the church teaches us, what is it? Time, treasure, and talent. Give what you can. Give what you have. It doesn't necessarily... Kathy, yes, the Old Testament isn't under a curse at all. I've never heard that in my life. I think I'm a pretty clear student of Scripture. But in the New Testament, we're not supposed to just give 10%. We're supposed to give 100%. So if anything, the New Testament requires more of us, which is total abandonment of all we have to the Lord. Okay, so... we'll give you a chance to enjoy the sunrise a little bit. See that halo behind me? That's really the sun. But I hope that kind of clarifies it. In the Old Testament, actually, the 10% was only part. It was well more than 10% that they would actually give. And they gave from the best. They gave their first fruits. But in the New Testament, of course, we should be giving at least 10%, but even more. We're required to give it all. give it all with beautiful discretion, Kathy. All that we have is the Lord's. Everything he gives, it comes from him. Total abandonment to God's will. I was with Robert Tunmeyer in Waco, Texas a few weeks ago. He's one of the founders, along with Father Larry Richards and some others, Kevin O'Brien and others, of the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance. It's an alliance of all the men involved in men's ministries. And we have a monthly phone call. And I was with Robert, and as he was beginning, he was talking about his conversion experience, and he just said he remembered to a gallery there that he was accustomed to going in and buying really fine art, and he's a wealthy man, he can afford it. And he said, I really like that painting. I know just where it should go. And he was going to make the purchase. And suddenly something happened to him that had never happened to him before. And it was just this solid, strong statement. That's not your money. That's God's money. That's not your talent. That's God's talent. That's not your time. That's God's time. Use your time well. I remember when I was 19, I wrote a song in one of the words were, oh Lord, send me and spend me. So that should be our goal. As a Benedictine oblate, I'm not someone who seeks to acquire stuff. What an empty pursuit. The early church fathers talked about the desire to acquire stuff, same as if you saw a person walking down the street and eating air. He's feeding himself emptiness, and as you fill yourself with emptiness, you are empty. But to give all that we have to the Lord and let, as we say in Hawaii, I'm gracious for the gifts that God has given me. Miraculous things like this home that we have here in Cocoa Beach. It was just a miracle how the door just opened for us to be able to be here to buy this. But it's my kuleana to take care of this, and everything that everything that comes my way financially, it's my kuleana. It's my stewardship of God's vineyard. It's not mine. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go share the good news. Jesus loves you and has a beautiful plan for your life.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.